Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Saint Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do so that when I am removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called in his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil.' He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another the steward said, 'And you, how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 cores of wheat.' The steward said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that this honest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it falls, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If therefore you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Mammon means what? Anything that you gain for yourself. It's not simply money. It can be fame or power. Something that will feed your ego. Something that somehow you give more importance to yourself than God. So mammon is not simply the devil or a monster or something. It can be anything or anybody that will simply push God away from your life. So do we serve God and God alone? Or do we serve mammon, ourselves, this world? What do we go for? What do we look for? Are we basing our existence on how much we serve God, how much we glory God? Or is it simply to feed our own insecurities and ego? So in the second reading, we hear to pray. Pray for what? Pray for the kings and for those in authority. So obviously, we are supposed to pray for the president, the Congress, the Senate, and any elected official, that they should what? Should serve God and not for personal gain. Because let's face it, they are definitely tempted not to serve even the people, but to serve themselves. How many of them are becoming more rich, financially stable, not even financially stable, but really hoarding money and power for personal gain? It's so difficult for them to simply remain simple, humble servant, not only of God, but also of what? The people. I don't know how many congressmen or senators you know
that really are actual servants and not simply getting richer and more powerful than ever? How many of them don't even want to let go of power because they love the power, they love the fame, they love the control? So we pray for them, even though we are tempted to what? To hate some of them. Yeah, I know you guys. Some of you don't like them, no? But let's pray for them. And in the first reading, it talks about what? The poor. That we should not abuse the poor. Those who are helpless. And do you think as a nation we have done that? Oh, yes. As a nation, we now have laws to what? To trample the rights of the poor, the helpless. And the first thing in my mind is what? The unborn. Yes or no? The unborn. The unborn nowadays, because of the legality of the law, even one of the candidates says, the unborn, they don't have any constitutional rights. See? As a nation, that's shameful for us to have laws that will trample the poor. And what did God said? I will not forget this. Huh? Remember this, huh? God said, I will not forget this. They even make money out of it. Planned Parenthood. They sell baby parts. I will not forget them. So unless these people really repent, where do you think they should go? If they repent, no problem. If they repent. But the problem nowadays is that they justify their existence by saying, oh, we only have 3% abortion. The rest are for the health of the woman. And of course, that's a lie. Because how can they survive if they only have 3%? And it's sad that nowadays, for mental health, they justify abortion for mental health. And now, Cardinal Dolan had to react because he saw a poster or an ad saying, Catholics for Choice. What the heck is that? Catholic for Choice. How can you be Catholic and kill? If they said, okay, personally, quietly, I will, again, even though it's still wrong, but to put it in an ad saying Catholics for Choice, is that misleading? It is misleading. Because people or some Catholic youth might think, oh, see, Catholics are for choice, which we don't do. So the thing is, my friends, are we really serving God or mammon? Huh? Are we really being faithful to God? See, the problem with being in a worldly society wherein they think they can get away with it, God can have so much patience. But even in the Old Testament, what happened? God got fed up. I hope that during our lifetime, if he got fed up with us as a nation, but most probably he will eventually because of the killings. And here we are looking at all the killings from in other countries. Human rights. See, when I have to say that when one of our politicians went to other countries and keep on defending human rights and going against the human rights violations in other countries, and then we don't treat American, unborn American lives as humans, is that hypocrisy? Huh? It's hypocrisy. Why would you go out trying to, what was the saying in the Bible? Don't go looking for the plank of other people's eye. Look and see into your own plank before you judge others. And that's the problem with our politicians. When they go to other countries and look at other people, at other countries' planks or mistakes. God and Mammon. How about you and I? What do we go after? What do we do? Anything. What do we do to serve God? Oh, Father, I serve God. By how? How? How do you serve God? Oh, by going to church. That's not serving God. Going to church is not serving God. That's praising God. You know? Praising God, thanking God. That's not serving God. Serve God is what? As a disciple. As a disciple, you have to preach. You have to teach. You have to share your faith. What do you do? Oh, I just pray. No, it's not enough. You have to defend. You have to defend life. You have to protect life. You cannot simply sit here and do nothing and depend on the priest alone to do something to protect and serve life, to protect and serve the helpless, the abandoned, the poor, the needy. For my dear friends, it's very challenging because every time I see you, I say these things: to serve God, to love God, to obey Jesus Christ, to imitate Him. But after this, once you go out of the church, how do you protect yourself from wrong ideas, from wrong teachings? Do you pray? Do you regularly read the Bible? Do you learn more about the faith? What do you do to really protect yourself from worldliness, from selfishness? In my case, I have my community. All of us agree we should pray together, eat together, you know, so that we are protected from temptations. How about you? What do you do to protect yourself? No? I saw in an advertisement a woman walking, you know, looking all over her shoulder, making sure that nobody's following her. And then when she opened her car, you know, look over her shoulder and look so that nobody would steal her car while opening the door. And then even when she's at home, went inside her home and even had different locks to protect herself from home invasion. And then at the end, sit down and smoke a cigarette. Meaning what? In the long run, you are not exactly healthy because you still have some things that might destroy you. You know? Meaning what? That you have to do. Again, the gospel talks about what? This guy, this steward, he was praised for his prudence. Why? Because he knew how to survive after being kicked out of being a steward. If only he used his cunning, his prudence to serve the master, he would not have been kicked out in the first place. Same thing with us. Don't use our prudence, our cunning, to get material things, to acquire worldly things. Use our cunning, our prudence, to serve God by making sure we not allow consistently the devil to tempt us. But if we open our computers and spend more time in Facebook, watching too much television and cable, and all those naked women and drunkenness all over the place, and you allow your eyes to see these things, how can you protect yourself if you keep on continuing exposing yourself to temptations? See, I'm only one priest. I don't have you the whole week to protect you. I only have you one hour, and even some of you are in a rush to get out. No? As if that's it, I'm done. And then you complain that God is far from you. You better think twice do I really want God in my life? Again, God and mammon. Serve God, be like Jesus, obey him, or continue living a life of selfishness, worldliness, sinfulness. Again, I know how difficult it is to become like him. I am like you, a sinner. But I'm doing my part, using my cunning to protect myself. I could have continued to become a diocesan priest, but in so doing, I would have more money. I would have lived by myself. But I didn't want that. I wanted first to what? Protect my priesthood, protect my faith, protect my relationship with God. That's what I'm doing. What are you doing about it for yourself? Again, I remind you from my heart. If you listen, good. If you don't, what? All right.